Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the man who has received so much recognition for his work on behalf of small business that he had to get a bigger mantle for his awards and a wider door for his head.
You have reached the transmitting signal for the big giant head. All big giant circuits are busy right now. Please stay on the line.
Mr. Humble, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. Mike Menzies is our guest. Michael is the president of Easton Bank and Trust. It's a wonderful little independent community bank over in the Eastern Shore of Maryland, and it's a beautiful part of the world. Mike is also past president of the Independent Community Bankers Association, ICBA, which is a great organization that represents thousands of independent community banks across the country, and he is an original member of My Brain Trust, the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust, and we're so glad to have him back. He's here to talk to us about a very important topic. Mike Menzies, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks, Jim. It's always a delight to be with you, and thanks for what you're doing to advocate for small business.
Well, I appreciate that, Mike. We appreciate you being such a steadfast supporter of what we do. Mike, we're going to talk about the financial regulation legislation that's going through Congress right now. But before we do, I want to back up just a little bit. I want to back up to the summer of actually 8 years ago, the summer of 2002. And almost exactly right now, 8 years ago, the Congress was working on something they called Sarbanes-Oxley. You know it well. And this was a reaction to a handful of companies who had abused the system and it caused a lot of problems. Enron, ultimately WorldCom, Tyco, et cetera, but they closed in the door after the horse was out. And it was totally, Sarbanes-Oxley, in my opinion, was totally unnecessary. It was the government's reaction to a problem that ultimately got fixed without Sarbanes-Oxley, but you and I and the rest of the marketplace were left saddled with this horribly intrusive legislation, and I think you agree with me in my little analogy there. But I'm concerned that what we're about to do with FinReg is going to be Sarbanes-Oxley on steroids. What do you think?
You know, believe me, I can appreciate that perspective, James. I think that as we look back in history, one of the great challenges our economy has faced has been the inability to differentiate between big and small. And the reason Congress promulgates these types of legislation is to try to find a way to deal with the concept of too big to fail, too big to regulate, mm-hmm. too big to manage, too big to control.
Right.
And that effort has gone on for decades, even since the crash of the banking industry in 29.
Mm-hmm.
So the legislation we're facing today and the SOX legislation have all been promulgated by Congress as trying to find a way to deal with this condition where entities have become so big that only a handful of them determine the fate of our economy. And that occurred,
and more and more, not just nationally, but globally.
Right, and so it is true that small often gets swept into the legislation, as was the case with Sarbanes-Oxley, also called SOX. Fortunately, some of the new legislation limits the pain that SOX places on small banks and small businesses. But I think a challenge that we will face for our lifetime is finding a way to bifurcate the accounting
mm-hmm.
and the legislation mm-hmm. and the regulation of gigantic and small.
Mm-hmm.
And gigantic, remember, always tries to suck small into the legislation because those are the foot soldiers of the gigantic. The gigantic say, oh, you can't do this because you'll kill the small. And they're saying that really to protect themselves.
Right.
And it is the nature of the legislation of the sins of gigantic, frankly, of the past couple of decades.
Well, Mike, my audience knows I'm no defender of Wall Street. There's no, I consider Wall Street to be out of control. I think that that Wall Street has been working at cross purposes to Main Street for a long time. I've said that many times on my show, but I also know, and you and I've had this conversation before, there are many public companies that have gone private because of Starbucks. And there are, and I've talked to a number of people who founded companies and took them public who've told me that if they were going public right now under the current, you know, circumstances, they would not go public. They'd stay private. You and I both know more and more companies are going back private. Fewer and fewer IPOs than we had years ago. And so I'm concerned that what winds up, what we wind up with in this FinReg bill is going to ultimately roll downhill as Sarbanes-Oxley has and hurt us. And I want you to comment on that. I'll let you to comment on that again after we come back after these messages. It's 20 after. I'm sorry, 20 till the hour. It's 39 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. Welcome back, 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out. Use it to your advantage. Lots of stuff there that will help you. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Don't forget to put the blog, which is right there on the homepage, the knowledge base, the articles, the archives, the Brain Trust members, lots and lots of stuff. That you can, in fact, if you want to go back and listen to anything that you hear on the show on any given day, just go back that very day and see and listen to the on-demand features, or go back as many days or as many years as you want. We have lots of stuff there that will help you in the categories that you can search under, and or individual topics you can search under. And also, don't forget on the homepage, we have a poll that we ask every week. And this week's about the economy. Let you give us your idea about how you think the economy's going. It's right there on the homepage on the right. Just click, and when you submit your answer, you'll be able to see how everybody else has voted so far and how you stack up with those guys. So check it out, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Mike Menzies is our guest. He's the resident banker in our Brain Trust. He's the president of Easton Bank and Trust in Maryland. Mike has just returned from a four-day conference in Calgary, Canada, Mike, where you and all your other the other leaders of the ICBA got together to talk about this FinReg bill and what it was going to mean to you. So we're very fortunate, and I want to thank you for joining us right after the meeting to give us the most recent information. So now let's talk about this new bill. We know why they're doing it. They're passing it to try to take another stab at the too big to fail, too big to regulate phenomenon. What did you learn while you were gone?
Well, James, we've been working on this 24/7 for almost 2 years now, and ICBA's position has been from the beginning that all we can do is fight as much as possible to limit the damage of new regulation to community banks who did not participate in the creation of this train wreck.
Right.
So Congress received a public mandate to deal with this financial crisis that almost brought the world economy to its knees, and we have fought just to find a way to keep it from crushing community banks.
Right.
And many parts of this bill, in fact, offer some relief to community banking. All 2,300 pages is not going to flow down and land on community banking. One of the great benefits is that this bill, if it does pass, changes the deposit premium assessment process for the premiums we pay on deposits.
Mm-hmm.
And that transfers the cost of paying for deposit insurance, at least it transfers about $4.5 billion of that cost, from 7,000-plus small community banks to a group of mega banks.
Hmm.
It transfers $4.5 billion.
Wow.
In the case of our little bank, it reduces my deposit premiums by 30%.
Wow.
That's money I can lend.
That's
into my
an advantage.
Community.
That's a good thing for independent community banks and for small business owners.
Yeah, absolutely. And it makes the deposit insurance limit of $250,000 permanent, which gives community banks a long term competitive advantage with the mega banks, who have been too big to fail. Mm-hmm. It institutes a process of dealing with the big banks if they do fail. It allows community banks to pay interest on commercial deposits.
I've been reporting on that in the last couple of weeks. We saw that, and Kiplinger was on last week, and we talked about that. That hasn't happened since the 30s.
Right. It brings into some form of regulation the non-bank competitors who are major contributors, the mortgage brokerage industry, to the financial collapse.
Let me ask, can I stop you for a second on this? I want to go into a little bit of detail on this, the paying interest on business accounts, commercial accounts. If you've got a small business with an operating account with you, and they've got a compensating balance of, say, $5,000 a day over the period of a year, what are you going to pay interest on?
Well, banks can establish a pricing regimen, James, for deposits. They have the ability to calculate the value of money. And this just is another tool to reward small businesses for excess deposits. It's as simple as that. Today, when small businesses have a significant excess deposit account,
they get nothing.
They get nothing because we can't legally pay.
Or
the community banks must do something called a repurchase agreement, which is very expensive. The large banks are capable of doing this.
Mm-hmm.
They have the scale. They can do.
We've talked about that before.
But so basically, this helps to level the playing field with the mega banks by allowing the community banks to pay interest on small business without having to go through the process of a repurchase agreement.
But could this be for the company that let's say a small business does $5 million in sales a year? Give us a ballpark of what kind of interest payments they could expect in a year's time. I know that's hard to calculate, but I mean, is it going to be a $500, $5,000? What's it going to be?
Well, I guess that's a function of how well Father Bernanke manages interest rates.
Yeah.
In today's environment, this isn't going to really produce much of a result.
Because the interest rates are so low.
But I think you and I believe that there's a reasonable possibility rates are going to go up for the next 5 or 6 years.
Yeah. And, so this is one way for small business. This is one thing that could be, if I were in Congress right now, this is one reason why I might vote for it. Mike, and I know you probably feel the same way. Hold on to that thought. We're going to take a quick break. Mike's website, by the way, folks, is eastonbankandtrust.com, EASTON, bankandtrust.com. It's not your grandfather's website, by the way. I mean, your grandfather's banker's website. It's a cool website. Check it out when you get a chance. 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. When we come back, I'm going to get Mike to tell us a little bit more about this bill and whether he would vote for it if he were in Congress. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.